Blog Talk Radio. going to be back next week. And things are going all right for him now. Everything's under control. I'm waiting for Eric to call. He's part of Rusty's band. And he's going to, well, he's supposed to call in, but in the meantime, I was going to bring in Betsy. Jeanine, I know you're listening. We'll get to you in a minute. Hello, Betsy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm exhausted. Other than that, I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me turn up the volume. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just going to read something about the Lake Elsinore Police Department, the enforcement campaign they're going to do this weekend.
Yeah. They've been doing them pretty regular.
Oh, here,
with that grant that they received, right?
Yeah, that in up north, too.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It's in Huntington Beach and doing some things.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
You know, NHTSA gave them a grant to do that stuff.
Well, they all got a grant. I don't know how to, I don't know how much, I don't know if it's $385,000 per person or per group, or it's, they split it among five of them, they said, but they're getting the money from somewhere. But we're
mm-hmm.
broke. Yeah. We're broke here. But what it says is they're going to conducting specialized motorcycle safety enforcement operations. Extra officers will be on duty patrolling areas frequented by motorcyclists and where crashes occur. Officers will be
under the guise of safety.
Absolutely. So, you know, they say the factors contributing are often speeding, impairment due to alcohol, and other drugs by motorcyclists.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, because I was reading on one of the news things today. There's 25 new things, and 12 of them are cops getting DUIs. One guy was driving his police car when he got it.
Yeah, but, you know, they can do no wrong.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they got the blue gang can, you know, helping them out, but.
Yeah. Well, it's just a shame that a lot of times it's hypocritical. I mean, you wouldn't mind if they lived in that pristine glass house, then they could throw the stones. But when they're just as guilty or guiltier, then it makes you wonder why they target us and discriminate against us.
I was at one the other day. They had I went to a COC meeting where they had an action alert was put out where everybody showed up at the bar. And, of course, they were taping and taking pictures as usual.
Mm-hmm.
In a car, a guy in the back of his truck looking for tools with a camera.
And yeah, you told me that. They try to make it like, you know, they're just regular people doing regular things, and it looks so conspicuous.
Yeah, and we're basically standing there doing nothing. And we're conspicuous.
Mm-hmm.
Take pictures. But, yeah, it's like, I don't, you know, it's getting worse by the day over here.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, there's another
one. You know, it's funny. I just came back from Sturgis, and I met a guy I've been talking to online for a while from Illinois, and it just amazed me how people are kind of apathetic and don't get involved. You know, they want to bitch, moan, and complain. And I said, well, what are you doing about it? Are you a member of ABAID, or do you do anything about it? Hold on. I'm on the phone, Kath.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. My neighbor's yelling at me. I'm on the porch. And he said, well, no. And I said, well, how do you expect to make a difference if you don't speak up and step up, you know, to the plate and get your fingers wet, you know, get your feet wet here and make a difference.
Yes, but it's not my job. I'd rather stand on the sideline and watch you do it.
Well, yeah, but you know what? That doesn't help. And the thing that bothers me is those of us that are getting older, you know, the younger generation doesn't seem to have any interest in this. You know what I mean? They just want to ride, and they're oblivious to it all. And I just wonder how our rights are going to be preserved unless they step up to the plate and do something.
Well, we're going to go to European standards. I can see it coming.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You wait. If I mean, right now there are places in China, in the metropolitan areas, where you can't even ride a motorcycle. You wait. In the big cities, that's going to happen here. Oh, it's too congested. You can't ride in Boston. You can't ride in L.A. You can't ride here. It's going to come unless we fight.
Right. But it's like I said, everybody wants to, you know, I could have 20 guys all fired up, ready to go, and then when it comes time to go, I might have one or two show up.
Yep. Yep. Well, it's that way with any volunteer organization. You might have 500 members, and yet you have like 25 core people that do all the work and show up and try and make a difference. But with motorcyclist rights, you know, they've got to step up and do something. Everybody, or we will go to European standards. And motorcycling will not be what it once was.
No, and it's like I was reading something else today about the trooper that flipped his car chasing those guys.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That he was pinned in his crumpled cruiser, bleeding profusely from a neck injury, and when two of the bikers approached the car, laughing and clapping, taunting the injured lawman. They it would be tough to code the crack. Tough to correct the code of silence in the biker community. But they also said, well, now here's where they're coming with the other stuff now. They want to put a dashboard mounted camera.
Oh God. I mean, Big Brother. Goodness.
$300 to $500 per camera.
Wow.
It saves a lot of investigative time. He encountered, you know, evening rush hour when he says he encountered a group of 10 motorcyclists on sport bikes. They were racing along the interchange between 405 and North.
Wait a minute. Come here, Bumpkin. Come on. Come on in. My dog's barking at the dock. Come on. Sorry.
Yeah. When he said he was going, they were going 100 miles an hour, so when he hit that, they don't know how fast he was going. Just, had he not slowed down, I don't know. If he rolled it 7 times, he wasn't slowing down.
Probably not.
Yeah. And he says he made a phone call to look and see and saw two guys taunting him.
Well, I don't know if the taunting was such a good idea, but...
You know, I mean, seeing a cop down was hysterical to them. They thought it was the funniest thing they ever saw. They didn't know whether he was going to live or die, and they didn't care. That's what makes it so hard to swallow.
Yeah. Well, there's apathy everywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I think of motorcyclists, I like to think of people who are caring. You know, there's good, bad, and indifferent in every group.
He said that there are renegade riders that are a tight-knit group who refuse to cooperate with police investigations. Well, I don't know, because like I said last week, if I seen somebody robbing somebody with all these clowns that are bothering us down here, I wouldn't tell them none unless I saw the guy hurt somebody. Then I'd say something.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll go there myself. But just to tell those guys, yeah, he went that way. Bullshit. I don't have any respect for them, and they don't have any respect for us.
I think that's the key word, the respect. I think if they had respect for motorcyclists as a whole, we wouldn't be having these safety checks and all of this stuff. I mean, I hear that there are bad areas where crashes happen and whatnot, but when I read the statistics that it's mostly cages that are causing our accidents, I mean, it bothers me when I see that, you know, a cager kills somebody and no charges have been brought. I mean, what's up with that?
Well, here, legally blind woman sentenced to prison in biker's death.
Oh, one out of how many?
Out of Texas, that's true, okay? But it says she was legally blind in driving.
Yeah, well, she had no business, you know, having a license is a privilege, not a God-given right.
Right. So she had been sentenced to, could have been sentenced to as much as 20 years, but would be eligible for parole in 3. So I guess that's all a guy's life is worth, 3 years.
Yeah, well, I've seen worse than that when it's only worth like a $150 fine. That's sad.
Yeah, they wanted, the defense asked to sentence her to probation. They said if they wanted to make it probation, they could make it for a period of at least 10 years.
Still, what's that? That person gets to get up and breathe every day and go about their daily business. So what? They got to go report to a probation officer, what, once a month? Big deal.
Right. It says, who is legally blind failed to yield at a stoplight and pulled into his path at the intersection. He was thrown 90 feet when the motorcycle and the car collided. He later died.
Yeah. You know, I see that stuff every single day. It breaks my heart. I mean, and coming back from Sturgis, you know, on the way in, there was a pickup truck that took out 5 motorcyclists.
The guys was from here.
Huh?
The
guy was from there?
Yep.
Yeah.
They were all from here, but one guy that we know.
Wow, that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there were 14 deaths altogether.
Right.
14 too many.
Yeah, you know, it's like they're asking how blind was she, and she says, well, technically, she can only see about a half a football field in a parking lot.
How was it that she even had her license?
Exactly. Her mother had been driving her, but she suffered a stroke, and since then his wife's been driving more. He testified that she has glasses but wasn't wearing them at the time because her nephew broke them, and she shouldn't have been driving.
Well, excuse me, if your nephew broke, call a freaking cab. Hello? Take a bus. Don't get behind the wheel if you know you can't see. Come on. Jeez.
Right. Here's where it gets tricky. The couple's 2 daughters were in the car with his wife at the time of the accident and told jurors that both said they saw a green arrow, meaning that she could turn and had the right of way to make a left turn. Yep. The insurance representative claimed that with Mitchell's auto insurance carrier, State Farm, testified that Mrs. Mitchell told her that she had a green arrow at the intersection and she didn't see him. She testified the insurance company hired a private investigator to interview the officer who investigated the accident. The officer told him that she had a green light. She based that on reports the company cited to accept liability.
The company should accept liability.
Yeah, they were looking for a way out.
Yeah.
The witness, while stopped at the intersection and his truck was hit by Mitchell's car in the crash, said he saw Mitchell's car turn directly in front of him. He said he wasn't able to see the lights controlling Mitchell's turn. From what I saw, he had no chance to even slow down. The car was there, and he was there. Boom. He testified trying to get a car seat out of the trunk car and heard talking to another woman saying Mitchell needed to put the baby in the seat. So she didn't even have, the baby was a 2-month baby her 18-year-old daughter was holding as she rode in the back of the right passenger seat. So she didn't even have her kid in a child.
Right. She was just breaking all kinds of laws.
And then both daughters testified they saw a green light and a green arrow.
Yeah, maybe they're legally blind, too. What I don't understand is she had two able people who had licenses in the car. Why the hell weren't they driving her?
Exactly. And then it says they had the traffic analyst confirm that both the green light and the left turn arrow were displayed. Jordan would have had to run a red light. He said if she went through a red light, Mitchell would have not had a green arrow. Another witness who was several car lengths behind said he sure didn't line, the line for traffic was green. Testified that gave them after the accident. She told them off she had a green light and didn't know where the motorcycle had come from. Although testified, she told them that she had a green light and thought she could make a left turn before the motorcycle entered the intersection because she had plenty of time.
Wait a minute.
She told him that he must have gotten there faster because he was speeding.
Oh, yeah, right.
A 4-man, 8-woman jury was seated Tuesday, and lawyers started statements at 4. And there was about bikers there to see this. Crazy, man.
Well, you know, first of all, because it was a biker, they try and make the biker look bad, like the biker was wrong.
10 sentences down and he was speeding.
Say what?
I said it only got to 10 sentences down and they tried to blame him for speeding.
Right, right. He wasn't speeding. He was just going along. He had the light and she was blind and took a left when she had no green light.
Well, they say, everybody says that she had the green light. He must have gotten there faster because he was speeding.
Oh, but you and I both know that's bull crap. That's just her attorney trying to get her off.
Yeah, same. Too. I mean, if my kids were sitting there and I was going to get 20 years, yeah, they saw a green light too.
Yeah.
Because everybody there basically is trained to lie.
Well, everybody there was in her car. Of course they're going to side with her no matter what the situation actually was.
That's just like talking about getting the child protective seat out of the trunk. Not worried about what happened to the guy on the bike.
Right.
Jump out of the car seat first.
Yeah, it's more important that when the police come, it looks like I'm doing the right thing and I have my kid in the car seat instead of on his mother's lap.
Getting worse by the day.
Yep, absolutely. Well, that's why people have to step up and try and make a difference and fight.
Mm-hmm. So, you wanna toot your horn here? What happened in Sturgis?
Well, yeah, I will, and I'm not gonna stay on long because I'm still a little sleep deprived, and I got a sore butt, you know. Well, after 5,200 miles out and back. To Sturgis. It was a very special trip for me this year. I was nominated and chosen to be inducted into the Sturgis Motorcycle Museum Hall of Fame for all the work I've done for motorcyclists and motorcycling over the past 15 years. And I have to tell you that it just seemed so surreal. And it didn't really hit me the magnitude of it all until the morning of the breakfast induction, and we rode down to the Civic Center, and I go inside and I get thrown in a lineup with Nancy Davidson.
Okay, name dropper.
All right, well, I'm sorry, they were there. She was inducted as well, and there were 5 other people inducted and one freedom fighter. And, lights were flashing from the cameras and everything. I got to meet Rogue. I saw Hardtail from the MRF. I saw tons of people from all over. I met Splat, the Harley Rat, finally in person after talking to him online for 10 years. That was nice. And I sat next to the curator of the museum, and on the other side of Christine was Lorenzo Lamas. He was the MC of the event. And to my right was Tony Pan, Sanfilippo, Bolt president. And on the right of him sat Nancy Davidson and Willie G. And I have to tell you, they are the nicest couple and the nicest people in the world. And
very,
I just absolutely adore them.
Yeah, very friendly people. I met them in Wisconsin.
Yep. And I've met them before, but just in passing. But, of course, you know, I sat there with them for 3 hours. And the breakfast was quite interesting. For each person that was inducted, they'd taken a bunch of pictures and made a presentation and, you know, gave an explanation and a little synopsis of everything they've done over the past so many years. And it was really well done. They had a color guard in the beginning with the flag, and they played the Star Spangled Banner. And then one by one, they did us alphabetically. And it was just awesome. And at the end, I can't tell you, people came up and asked me for my autograph. I felt so out of place. I'm not used to people coming up asking me for my autograph. I mean, who the hell am I? I'm some little girl from outside of Boston, you know what I mean? But it was just, I mean, my feet didn't touch the ground the whole day. It was just wonderful and beautiful, and the whole trip was phenomenal. I met Mac Henderson in person, and I met Rogue in person. I met so many people, I can't even begin to tell you. And the riding was phenomenal. The sights were phenomenal. The buffalo came down from the hills, and there were herds upon herds. There were mountain goats everywhere, and the wild burros were everywhere. And I love needles so much, I did it twice.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically it. Was just a phenomenal trip, and logged 500 miles a day out and 500 miles a day back, which I surprised myself I could do. With my back and my hips, but and that's basically it. But it just felt wonderful to be recognized. I mean,
what
you
else?
Know the feeling.
Yeah. What else was the topic of the conversation? You guys talk about anything?
What do you mean?
Mac, have anything to say?
Regarding, I think you're trying to point me towards something. Give me a hint here.
At SB 435.
Oh, yes, we did talk about that, of course, and we talked about the insurance as well. We just hashed it out again, basically, and just going to keep fighting against it all. That's all, basically.
Okay. Let me bring in Art. Hello, Art.
Hey, Phil. How goes it?
Good. How you doing? Say hello to Betsy.
Good. How you doing?
Doing good, Betsy. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Art. Greatly appreciated.
Looks like you had some fun with Tony and his wife.
Oh, that was the other thing. I have to tell you, one of the most special treats of my trip was Tony and Vicky brought me to the very tippy top of Crazy Horse Mountain. And what a phenomenal view from there. You can see for 5 states, but please don't ask me to name them. Minnesota, Nebraska, maybe not North Dakota. I can't remember all the states, but unbelievable. That whole story behind that poor Chack and his family not accepting any federal funds to build the monument. Of course, I doubt very much that we'll ever see it completed in our lifetime, maybe our children's lifetime, but it's just amazing up there, just amazing. We had a blast, had a blast.
The way things are going, we might go there on a field trip on a bus. You won't be able to drive a bike over there.
Well, I hope that's not the case.
Yeah.
They guesstimated 700 to 750,000 people there this year. And I spoke with people who told me the last 2 years, because of the economy, the attendance was way, way, way down. Even the vendors' permits were way down. So this year was a revival for it. I mean, and coincidentally, it was the 70th, but there were just scads of people everywhere. But mostly, I would say, people trailered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them. And anywhere from 50 to 25 to 50 miles away, they ride in like they rode all from all over the place.
Yeah, I don't understand, you know, the mentality when you can ride somewhere and enjoy the scenery and inhale the landscape. Why throw your bike on a trailer and ship it in, you know? But
yeah, you know, it's just like going back to that SB 435. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was approved 11-5. So
you're fading in and out, honey.
I said that it was an amended version. And this bill would make it illegal to ride a motorcycle on a road built after January 1st, 2013 that doesn't display a Federal Environmental Protection Agency label, certifying that the exhaust meets the sound emission standards. And then the AMA chimed in with, well, they've been against loud pipes for a long time, but they're against this legislation. So they're contradicting themselves in the same sense.
Well, one thing I read recently is that the AMA is it was stated at the breakfast that the AMA is trying to change their image and that they're gearing themselves more towards motorcyclists' rights and protecting them, which is about time. Because for a while, you know, their focus was everywhere else but that. You know, it was on racing and everything else. But it's good to see that they've changed their focus and that, you know, they're going to stand behind us because, you know, we need clout. We need an organization to stand behind us and support legislation that we fight.
Yeah, but there's only really one objective way to determine whether it's loud or not, and that's to have people trained properly to do it.
Well, exactly. You know, as I said to you before, one thing that we've done out here is the MMA, Mass Motorcycle Association, purchased a decibel meter, and on different weekends throughout the month of August at different locations, they partner with the police, and they have people come and voluntarily test their motorcycle. Now, if you fail, there's no penalty to you. They just tell you you fail, and you have the option to go fix it or whatever, or just leave and drive off. So there is no penalty to anybody. However, at least it lets people know where they stand. So, you know, if somebody's obviously running pipes that are excessively loud and they get them tested and find out they're loud, at least they know, you know what I mean? And if they want to, they can go change them to something that's less loud.
It's like, you know, even though the MA developed, I know they developed some model something for cities and states. Pretty simple, consistent, and economical way to deal with it, but it's supposed to be just for highway motorcycles with the larger context of excessive sound from all sources. So, again, we're going back to that Society of Automotive Engineers, SAE J2825 standard. So I knew it was going to get slipped in there somewhere.
Well, we got to keep fighting against that then, too.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Art?
Yeah.
I'm having a problem here. You keep fading in and out. Hold on.
Okay.
Is that better?
I think we're making it. Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
So, is she back yet?
Yeah, I'm back. Okay. Go ahead, Art.
Okay. Now, I think, yeah, we've got to keep up. We've always got to keep up the fight. We can't just give up.
There's, right.
You know, the attitude about, you know, legislation, it's just often showed. But like I say, the trailering, and it's a whole different,
not
I won't say
that.
Generation, because it's more than one generation, but it's a whole different attitude going out there. And they ride to be cool. They ride because it's comfortable. They ride because it saves gas. Very few of them actually ride because they love to ride.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll trailer, they'll submit to laws, they'll do whatever anybody says, and they'll still look cool.
You know, you're absolutely right, and I was saying that earlier. I don't know if you hear that, but I worry about the younger generation, about getting them, you know, excited about protecting our right to ride. You know, as opposed to just going along with whatever legislation says, because they view riding in a different manner than we do. To us, it's a statement of, you know, freedom and you know, a privilege, and the right to be one with the landscape and inhale it all and all of that stuff. To them, it's just to look cool. You know, and
right.
Yep.
They're like weekend riders, like.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of weeks I've been driving the car because my shoulder's been bothering me, but I've been trying to ride as much as I can.
Mhm. But you ride because you're passionate about riding and because you love to ride. You know, these people ride because they think it's cool. They're weekend riders, in other words. They don't have it, like, inbred in their soul.
Right.
Yeah. I know if I drive to work, I usually get to work and I'm pissed off. But if I ride...
You're in a
if
much
I ride
better
my bike,
way.
Yeah. But if I ride my bike, I'm always in a good mood. It puts me in a better mood just to be out. And I can still have the same idiots... But they don't bother me. I just go around them, you know?
That's right. That's right. No matter what they do, you know, you give them a little yell or whatever, and then you just go on and still enjoy your day in the car. You know, it like, gets in your insides and eats you up. But on the bike, you can blow it off.
Yeah. So.
Right. Hey, I got somebody who wants to talk to you, Betsy.
Oh, okay.
Hello there. Are you there?
Hello.
Janine.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi, honey. Do you know how much I wrestled with calling you before I left for my trip and have you turn cards to see what they would say as to whether or not I was going to have a safe trip out and a safe trip back, but I didn't want to know.
Oh, but look at the time you had.
Oh, it was phenomenal. It really was.
Oh, for the rest of your life. Those are pictures you take with you for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The memories are embedded in my brain forever.
And,
you know
and,
what?
And
I'm not.
She's quite a name dropper, too.
Yeah, I heard.
Well, you,
but,
know,
you know,
I
what?
Mean, it isn't every day you get to schmooze with the highbrow, you know? I mean.
No, I know it.
Yeah.
But you
well,
know what, Betsy?
I saw Nancy in June at the diabetes run.
Say that again?
I saw Nancy at the diabetes run.
Yeah, that's part of the reason she got inducted was for all her charity work. And what they said with her induction is that it opens it up to the riding partner, which is something that's new for
right.
the Motorcycle Museum Hall of Fame. They had never honored anybody who was, you know, actually didn't ride their own bike. So that was pretty cool, too, because, you know, there are lots of people who ride whose partners choose to ride behind and still get involved and do a hell of a lot of work for the sport, you know, for the art of motorcycling, and that should be recognized for it. So kudos, you know, that they recognized that and,
right,
and opened it up.
Right. It's just, it's like you said earlier, you know, we're all getting older.
Yeah.
And to keep things going, they got to start opening things up.
Right. You know, on the podium, I mean, Nancy Davidson, I mean, God love her. She's got to be, let's see, she met Willie G at 16 and said something about 63 years she's been involved. So do the math, you know, she's not a young woman. I know how old I am, and all the people up on the podium were like well over 50 anyway, and then, you know, it makes you wonder, where is the younger generation? And as I looked out in the audience, I don't believe I saw anybody under 40.
Right.
That's scary.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, when I was out with Bill the other day, you know, when we talked to you.
Yeah.
There was a lot of young guys there. But the first time I've seen a lot of young guys under 30 years old show up for something like that, because it was a national alert put out to
oh,
come
really?
Down.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
That's good, then. I don't see it here yet.
Most of the young folks I see are riding the sport bikes, it seems like. There doesn't seem to be nearly as many on the big twin types.
Right.
No, we had about 15 of them show up for that the other day.
Well, actually, you know, let me correct something here. When we first started having that problem with the city of Boston, we contacted the Sport Riders Association out of Boston, and a lot of those, I call them kids because to me they're kids, you know, they were about like anywhere from 25 to 35 or so. They actually came out, there was about 18 of them, showed up, listened to what we had to say about, you know, the city of Boston and the bill, you know, targeting exhaust. So, but, you know, that was a surprise, you know, and that's not the norm.
No. No, it's not. And it was, like I said, it was really surprised to see those young kids there. And,
well, that's good. And I hope they came away with, you know, like a spark was lit inside them so that they'll go back and talk to other people and, you know, incite
some kind of movement.
Yeah,
they're going to go back and say,
movement.
Yeah, I went down to these guys and had my picture taken and my license plate written down. But that's the way it is.
Yeah, well.
So they're all by the end of the day, they were all known associates, which is okay. That means there's strength in numbers.
Right.
But they don't see it that way, so they're gonna learn in the long run. You know, everybody here that I was dealing with the police department is bailed. Now they're no longer involved. Is the phrase. But they're up to their eyeballs. I sent out the public service request to find out what happened to the 45 IA complaints that were turned in over the last 6 weeks, and I should be getting an answer at the beginning of next week.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I meant to ask you, because I haven't spoken to you about this, what's going on with your situation with the guy taking your helmet and all of that?
They sent me the answers I had asked for, and I talked to the city attorney. What happened was I got a phone call. The lady, the day before it was due to be given to me, and asked for more time. What I didn't know was it was a week later when the other lady called me, because that lady had thrown it on her desk and went on vacation.
Oh.
Saying, you got to take care of this. So she called me on Tuesday, and I had everything in my hand by Thursday. And then when I asked her about talking to the two sergeants that were involved, her response was, they're no longer involved. That my response was, well, then what happened to all the IA complaints? And I guess I'll just have to send in another public service request.
Oh, so maybe they dealt with it internally and shoved it under a rug or something because it's an embarrassment?
Yeah, that and the fact that the guy's in a car by himself now. Nobody wants to work with him because they don't want... Those things stay in your jacket for 5 years, and they count against promotions and everything.
Right.
Everybody that's with this guy, whether he's a nice guy or just standing there with his mouth shut, he gets written up too. All of them. I don't care if they're nice as pie. The one out is this harassment. It's all selective enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was down at work the other day, and I got a text telling me that there was a checkpoint. They started it at 1 o'clock and didn't end it till 2 in the morning. Off one of the exits on the freeway right in town.
Wow.
All they were stopping was bikes.
I mean, it's one thing if they're going to stop, you know, the kids with the loud radios that reverberate your chest with the bass up so high, or the loud exhaust and whatnot, but if they're just targeting motorcyclists, it really does seem unfair. You know, if you're going to do a safety check, then do a safety check for all vehicles, not just motorcyclists. It just seems to be discrimination when they do that.
Exactly. Plus the fact when they pull people over for a seatbelt, they're not wearing one themselves.
Well, you know what they say about that. They say the reason that they don't wear it is because they need to exit the vehicle quickly on a call.
Yeah, and you know, it's like Janine says, you know, be careful because they're going to push, and I'll probably be in this fight by myself, but I'm not worried.
Why would you be in it by yourself? There are other like-minded people out there beside you.
Oh, I know, but see, like I said, Betsy, I could have 20 people standing there patting me on the back and everything. Art will tell you.
Oh, yeah, and then when it comes time, they all, I got to go. My wife's calling me. My kids need me.
Yes. Art will back me up on that. We can have, when this first came out about the pipes, I had 200 people. And then when it came down, it was 2,000 and above. Everybody bailed.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a shame.
Hey, Phil?
Yes.
Yeah, if they're doing a roadside check like that again, give me a call so I can swing by, okay?
Sure.
If I'm not working, I'll be there.
I'll put you on the list.
Okay, yeah, because if I'll swing by and let them look at my bike and see what they got to say.
Yeah, same thing when we have the next action alert.
Okay, good.
So what's your bike like, Art, that you would do that?
Nothing. It's just the 98 Super Glide. It's been modified a little bit.
A little bit?
It's nothing special.
Yeah.
But,
love to
but
see
I
a picture
I,
of it.
I think, you know, anytime a police officer wants to take a look at it and comment, I'm always willing.
Uh-huh.
As long as I can get their name and badge number.
Sure.
Or a business card.
Yeah, but now your bike, because it's a 98, you said, isn't subject to these new laws,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. There's a line in there that says all bikes made after 2011, which was now 2013, and any exhaust manufactured after 2011. So if I have to buy a new exhaust system next year, I fall under the umbrella.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So these people that think it doesn't affect them haven't realized yet.
Yeah,
it does.
I think you're right about that.
Yep.
So anything 83 or newer will be affected.
But you know something? Why do they allow the Midas mufflers and all of those other places? Those are aftermarket exhausts.
Yes, I had an aftermarket on my truck. I had a Bronco, and it was for off-road use.
Mm-hmm.
And they installed it. But the cops don't seem to care about these little rice rockets that got that big old 6-inch exhaust thing sticking out top. Sounds like a bumblebee running down the road.
Right.
You know.
Well,
so
they target market the V-twins, the Hollies.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it. That's what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing now when somebody goes in and buys the Screaming Eagle 1 or 2 pipes. Supposedly the Screaming Eagle 1s are okay. The Screaming Eagle 2s are not. But yet there's some of the people telling them they are.
Well, you know what else is weird is on the Screaming Eagle bikes, they have those Screaming Eagle exhausts already installed on the bike from the factory.
They have everything Screaming Eagle on there, and the bike's modified already, so...
Exactly.
So how are they getting around? Because I know it's going to come down to when you take your bike in to get serviced and you have anything aftermarket on it, it's going to be like, well, we can't touch your bike because it's modified.
You know what, I don't understand why Harley and the manufacturers, now, of course, because I've been away and I haven't checked all the emails going back and forth, whatever happened with Bub, whatever happened with Vance and Hines and Reinhardt and all of that, did any of them come forward and have an interest in jumping on board this fight? Because their business will be affected.
Yeah. Bub makes a certified, EPA-certified exhaust system.
Okay.
So when this lady was trying to say she had support of these different companies, she said she had the support of Bub, and Bub stood up and goes, that's wrong. We do not support this legislation.
I remember that.
I don't know, there was a lot of chatter going on. Stuff that was supposed to be confidential and all kinds of stuff and not be talked about, and the next thing I know, you know, I get the email about what had happened in the 11-5 vote and all that, and then when I asked about it, then I watched the Janet sent out the video, and the guy from Bubs did speak, but I couldn't get the audio. And I've been trying to find that, but I can't get the audio to come up. I don't know if they deliberately deleted the audio or not.
Yeah, Bub stood up and said they didn't support it from what I got. And then Abate stood up and said, we're neutral on it. We won't argue about it. We agree with it, but our position is neutral.
What?
And that's when everybody got upset with Abate for rolling over.
I don't blame him one bit. Wow. Well, as Rogue said it, you know, the MMAs and ABATES have all become safety-crat organizations and not motorcycle rights organizations.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, it's like, you know, Janine's kind of upset because she says that the kids come first. Are you still there, Janine?
I'm right here.
Yeah. And you're right, Janine. I mean... Everybody has their own opinion, and we're all entitled to it. But if you're going to stand there, let me hear me out first. I know this is going to strike a nerve, but let me hear me out first. If you're going to stand there and talk all kinds of shit and walk and talk the talk, but not walk the walk, then don't say nothing. Don't put yourself
out
there.
That's my point.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Say you can do what you can do, but don't start making promises that you know you can't live up to, especially if you have small children or a demanding husband or a demanding job. Then if you can't live up to supporting something other than what you say you can support, don't say anything at all. I'm definitely agreeing with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes if somebody says that they can help you do something one day, and what if their child gets sick that day, what do you do?
Right. Exactly.
You know,
then there's that.
I could understand that if that was the case, but a lot of guys will come up with an excuse because actually they just don't want to do it.
Right.
You know, they'll stand there and be all big and bad.
They don't want to stick their neck out.
Until it's time to actually go and put on your little beanie helmet or whatever and go downtown and go, no, I'm right and you're wrong. You know? And they don't want to actually be counted.
But look at how many people say one thing and do another. It blows my mind. But I can only keep the promises I make if everything is well at my house, I can't just say, if my child is sick, which has happened to me, I made a commitment, my child was literally sick that day, and I got handfuls of shit back that I don't keep my word because I have children here, that really hurts. That really hurts.
But I understand that one, and I think you're right. You're 110% right. Your family has to come first. But if you did that on a regular basis, like, okay, well, we're going to go downtown and protest, or we're going to go down here and do something, and every time it came up, you go, oh, well, my kid's sick today, my kid's sick today, my kid's sick today.
Yeah, no. Right, or I got to go with
you.
My kids for
but
this
if you stand
that.
Up, yeah, if you stand
and
up to be counted.
Shame on them for wishing their children. Do you know what kind of energy they're calling to their children by using that over and over and over?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely. They can't come up with another excuse. They have to use their children. Well, you know why? Because who's gonna say something about that?
Nobody.
Oh yeah.
Who's gonna be the dickhead that goes, really? You're not gonna support a protest down here because your kid's sick? You piece of shit. Who's gonna say that?
Nobody.
Yeah.
That's why they use it. But then when it really happens, because it happened to me on a commitment that I made, I made a commitment to help somebody do something, and I volunteered, and I could not follow through. That person called me a liar, just like what you're saying, that they said that I used my children's sickness as an excuse not to do it. How do you know what that did? I was like out of my mind, out of my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, but
I do what I can do.
That's it. If you do what you can do and you stand up and you do what you say, I think that's great. But when your family is sick, you take care of them.
Right.
And
absolutely.
You let them know you had a problem. If they don't understand that, then they don't understand family at all.
Right, but what about the person that continually says, oh, I can't do it. My son's got a little league game. That's different than your kid is sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who's going to be there for that child? Have you ever joined something as a little child?
I was
not
a coach for my kids, so I know.
Right.
Yeah, no, and not have your parents there, that's unforgivable.
That's devastating, and I understand that as well. But then again, the thing is, the person shouldn't make a promise they can't keep.
That's what it boils down to.
Right.
Yeah, you've got to let them know up front that you do have commitments and you'll do what you can.
Right.
But I think you tell them you can't promise it. You can't because, you know, well, my son's got this or I've got family obligations and leave it at that even. And say, I will do what I can and leave it. But don't be promising stuff.
Hey,
say, I'm committed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm in charge. And then say, well, I can't do it. My kid's got a little league game. No,
you're right.
That's different.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know people who have done that. They ran for office in an organization to be in charge, to have the power. And then every time it came time to show up for something, I can't, my kid's got a little league game. Well, why'd you bother running to be in charge if you knew you weren't going to be able to commit to it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because their heart might be in the right place. Their heart might be in the right place, but they can't live up to it. Sometimes people just can't help it. Doesn't mean that they're not supportive. They're just not activists. There's a big difference.
Right.
But I support what Phil, what you do, what Art talks about. I love hearing it. Can I get involved? I can't.
Right.
There's nothing I can do except for flip cards.
Be supportive
and people
of
want
us.
Me to. Absolutely.
You're involved.
Absolutely.
You're involved right now and you're stirred up.
Yeah, you can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, but you know, you can write letters, phone calls. You can do other things besides get out there and be a body on the street. If you can sit at home and support them by, going out and letting your legislators know what you think is going on, you know, and getting involved in that aspect, that's always a big help.
Mm-hmm.
From behind the scenes. It just might not be... up front, it just might not be, hey, I'm here. It might be something I do on the sidelines. That's how I feel like I am supportive. But I don't make claims that, yes, I'm going to the ride and I'm going to be there. No, I will never make those statements unless I'm doing it, you know?
Right. Well, the big thing to me is look at what Betsy just got. The Hall of Fame in Sturgis, not for being out there and pushing the envelope on the street per se, but by keeping people informed, letting people know what's going on, and it's helping people on the computer, on the phone, and doing those things. And that is a big part of it. There are so many people that don't have any information, and if you can provide them with information or guidance, Phil's stepping up and putting on the program and fighting the ticket. He's the first one down here.
Absolutely.
You know, Red Baron really has kind of dropped off, and I know he dropped off because he was fed up. And he fought the fight, and he fought it for many years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I respect him, and I always will. And I know he didn't quit, but he just stepped back. And then somebody
he's in
else.
He's gopher hole, and everybody's trying to, because he's the one that started helping me in the beginning, and everybody was trying to figure out how I got him out of his gopher hole. But we all happen to have a mutual friend. And that mutual friend, all his stuff was called into question about what he does with bikers' rights. And I'll tell you what, for the last 40 years, that guy has stood up to the plate with everything that's been thrown at him. He stood by my side, and he went to meetings with me, with the city, with the police, with the mayor, and every congressman, the whole shebang. And the people that say they don't know what his rights activism is, can kiss his ass, because the guy's in the trenches with me right now. He didn't have to go down there with me to that ride in protest with those guys while they took our pictures from all different angles of the street. Looked like we didn't know they were there.
Right. But, you know, he's got a different philosophy than you do, and his way of fighting is a little different than yours, and it's all to be respected. We're all doing our part, and if you can just do what you can do, that's all that can be asked.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I'm not to interrupt anybody, but hear me out. When I first talked to Red, I went down to see him at his house. He invited me to his house. I was there for about 3.5 hours. And he went through the whole thing with me and explained to me what I would have to do, how I would have to do it, what letters I'd have to write, who I'd have to call, who I'd have to request sit-downs with. And I followed it to the T, and it's working. And it's pissing them off because I'm using their rules against them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, I mean, even though Red's not fighting right now in the trenches, he is supplying more information and more guidance than anybody else in the state, and his assistance is so valuable, it's unspeakable at times, you know?
And you know what he wants? He wants in return?
What's
that? You know what he wants in return? That you follow.
You to help somebody else.
You to help somebody else, and that you follow through and help somebody else.
That's it.
And I've been doing that.
That's great. Well, that's how he's going to pass on his legacy.
That's
right.
It. That's it.
There it is.
You know, because we all get burnt out at times. You know what I mean? You can't go like 100. You can't give 120% 100% of the time. It's just impossible to do.
Yeah, it's like when, like Janine said, she heard it in my voice that I was tired. I am tired. And then when I got home, I had to answer almost 100 emails.
Yep, like you said to me on the phone today, you sound tired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yep. I spend my day out in the sun all day.
Oh, and don't I know how that'll wipe you out. God, my skin is still fried.
How's your nose doing?
I'm already.
Hey, Phil, can I tell you something?
Sure.
I read your email about prospecting, and I read all the guidelines, okay? I read all the guidelines. So before you decide who is going to be there and stand up for you, why don't you apply that same vibe from the prospecting of what they do if you're really sincere about, you know, joining a club and what you have to do and what they look at, and why not do that for people that are going to stand by your side?
I've been doing that.
You know, you prospect them, and maybe they don't even realize it, but you could tell by body language, eye movement, if they're
mm-hmm.
going to be there for you or not. So prospect the people that you feel are going to stand by you without even being in a club. Use those same principles, and then maybe you won't deal with, my kid is sick, when you know they're not, or, you know, the Little League thing, or they back out when it counts and shit like that will be happening. you need to be more selective. Of, you can't just pick any Joe that says, you know what, I'm there, I'm going to do it. Well, you need to test that out. You need to make sure that they are going to be there before you do go in this alone. And what I meant by you going in this alone, what I meant was this fight, that it's going to be a lot larger than what's going on now because you're busting things wide open, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking like internal affairs and stuff, people are starting to get scared,
right?
And they might back out. So maybe you need to prospect the people that are going to stand up for you. You know what I mean? Like, you have some solid individuals on here. Betsy, you got Betsy, not afraid of shit. You got Art, very
yes,
knowledgeable.
I am.
Very, very knowledgeable, very intelligent, the way he carries himself. These are the people that are going to help you get it done. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Art talked to Mark, and it was a while on the phone, I understand, and it was kind of, Art was kind of prospecting with Mark. To see where his sincerity was. Am I correct, Art?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But I've made an opinion of all that. That, you know, we did that bit with the Bolt, and we talked to everybody, and up comes a decision that,
yeah.
And maybe this is the right one, that, you know, whether Bolt contacts me or not, I really don't give a damn anymore. I'm still going to do what I do.
Yeah.
Well, that's the right attitude.
So, if they're there, that's great. I've still got access to the information, which is what I need.
Right.
But as far as joining the club, it really is not that important.
Well, you know, the thing is, they make it a point to say it's not a club. It's not a membership organization. It's different.
Right.
It's like a chosen, people are chosen to be invited to become a part of the family based upon their sincerity, their passion, their commitment, what they've done.
Right.
You know, it's not like another organization where you go, here's my $35 and I'm a member. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A card-carrying member.
Right.
It's not like that at all. But, you know,
no.
I feel that I'm surprised that someone hasn't nominated you, Philip.
Oh, he has. He has.
Yes.
But, you know, I did nominate him.
That's how he got hooked up with Mark.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So let me
right.
ask you a question. Because my understanding, after having gone through the process, is you put a nomination out there. If it gets a second, then there's a week of discussion. If there's no major opposition, then that's it. You're in.
That's
so
correct.
Where did it go from there?
From Mr. Temple's lap.
Okay. Well,
huh?
But, you know,
how the hell did it lay him there? So he must have been the one that had an objection, obviously, right?
Okay, I don't care. You know, like you said, it doesn't bother me either way. First question was from him is, when did you get your ticket? He's like, well, I haven't got a ticket. You know, and I told him what I've been doing for bikers' rights and keeping people informed and letting people know. But it's no more different to me than I've been offered a couple of times to prospect into clubs and stuff, and I really don't want to because I want to stay unaffiliated. I want to stay where I can go to any club and talk to them.
Right.
And it doesn't matter to me. I'm very appreciative. I thank
them. You can do the most good.
Right. I was just talking to a guy. He writes the Quick Throttle magazine out of Wisconsin. Tom Tenney,
right.
And I was just talking to him, and we were discussing it. And he's basically had the same things. And we were talking about, you know, being non-affiliated, so you can go and talk to people and let people know what you think without disrespecting anybody or stepping on toes.
Right.
And that, to me, is all I want to do. As far as joining Bolt, I'd love to, but I'm not holding my breath, and I'm not worried about it.
Right.
It's not affecting me and what I do. You know?
You're going to do what you do irrespective of whether you're embraced or not.
Cool. I've been doing it for the last 4 years or so now when the MMA rep in San Diego died, and nobody stepped up to take his place and keep information flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't bother me. I'm going to keep it up. And as long as there's information that needs to be put out, I just talked to a guy that owns a shop that sells equipment for motorcycles, and he didn't know you didn't have to take your helmet off.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of people don't know their rights. It's amazing.
But
there are so many.
You got to understand one thing. You got to understand one thing, because I just went through this a month ago. Okay?
Yeah.
If they tell you to take it off and you refuse to take it off, you refuse to give up that right, they're going to tell you that they're going to charge you with obstruction and interfering with his duties. So if you're going to play ball, you got to play ball.
Right.
You
got to
play hardball.
What's going to throw at you.
Right. You know, and like I told him, if it comes down to it, and he goes, you know, you tell him you want to talk to his sergeant, and the sergeant comes out or supervisor, and they're going, yeah, I'm backing my man up. And he goes, either you take your helmet off or I'm going to arrest you. You know, I was like, that's why you carry your recorder. And you tell him, I'm not giving up my right. I'll take my helmet off because I don't want to go to jail. But I'm saying right now, I do not give up my rights.
And I'll tell you right now, when you get a guy that doesn't know you're right, doesn't know you're right and he's wrong, they're going to turn off your recorder. But if you're sharp and you can see the little red light going on in their pocket where they're recording also, as soon as you're done, you go down and you get the paper. If you email me, you fill out the service request for discovery, and you take it and you send it in as fast as possible.
Right.
And
so
it
doesn't get lost.
I have the
evidence.
I have it in my hand. It says, case number, item number one, Oceanside Police Department, evidence, first copy. Not the second copy. The original copy. I have the original copy in my hand. It says this is a CD-ROM with the audio of the traffic stop. The type of incident and the officer's name and everything.
Yep. That's it. So you have people need information.
Right.
They need knowledge.
Right. And they need to know they have the right to ask for these things. You know, they feel intimidated by the police, and then they don't know what to do, and so they're just going to pay the ticket and, you know, be done with it or whatever. No, 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 you shouldn't do that. You should stand up for your rights. But a lot
of people,
like
you
said, don't understand their rights.
Right. So it doesn't matter.
Maybe from somebody who's not like knowledgeable of the law or codes or anything like that, but maybe the people that could pulled over and asked to get their helmet taken off, when a police officer asks you to do something, you kind of assume he knows the laws and what he can get away with and that he's not doing anything, you know, that's out of his realm. So you don't even question it. Maybe some people don't even know that they could question
that.
That's
why there's that helmet sticker, question authority.
That's also why. That's also why they say if you can't dazzle them with your brilliance, baffle them with your bullshit.
The bullshit,
yeah. But cops are trained to ask a question, ask for you to do something, but in a statement. It's kind of like, would you mind stepping out of the car, you know, or step out, I'd like to talk to you back here. It's like, so you should always ask them, going, are you telling me or are you asking me? You know, is this an order or a request? And at which point they have to tell you. You know, well, I can't order you to do this. Well, then I'm not going to do it, you know.
Right.
But that's how they're trained, and they're trained to make a question sound like an order.
Mm-hmm.
And 99% of the people will just follow along.
Well, I don't think they know better. They don't know any better. It's like the law is up to the police officer, and that's where we are. We are kind of like, oh, well, they know the law and I don't. I better do what he says.
Right.
You know, until I started talking to Phil and listening to the shows with Hermes and Phil, I had no idea that you could tell the police officer, no, I'm not doing that, that I'm not giving up that right. But then, like Phil says, you could get arrested. They might slap cuffs on you over that. Well, I don't want to freaking go to jail because I don't want to step out of my car or show them my glove box. But I'm going to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's why you have to state. You don't give up your rights.
I would know better now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. That's
just
it.
Like,
but
Janine,
you see the thing.
It's just like this, Janine. Okay, something happens at your house, right? Say hypothetically, you got in a beef with your husband. The cops come. Now, your husband made the phone call and said, my wife hit me with a frying pan. Okay? They come to the door and they ask you to step outside. As soon as you step outside, you're getting
arrested.
You're
giving up your rights.
You're getting arrested. Whether you know it or not, you're going to jail. Because, one, you stepped out of your house. They can't come in unless you invite them in.
Right.
But if you step out that door, you're fair game.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you know that?
I didn't.
You do now.
It's just like if I told you. It's just like if I pulled you over in your car and I seen a gun sticking out of the top of your purse, and they pull a gun on you and tell you to get out of the car. What do you say?
I would say I'm not giving up that right.
Are you ordering me, or are you telling me to get out of the car? Because
right.
you know
can
that
they,
the gun
can
you
they
have,
order you?
They, you ask
can
them,
they
are you
order
ordering
you?
Me or telling me?
But
yeah, you're ordering me or asking me, yeah.
Right, but can they order you to do something?
They can order you to do anything.
Yep. And it's up to you. It's up to you to know the difference when they ask you the question. That's why I say answer a question with a question, just like Art said. Are you asking me or telling me? Because
right.
if you know that gun you have in the car is legal, and you know that it's unloaded, and you know that the bullets are in the trunk, you did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They can't say it's a concealed weapon because it's sticking out of your purse.
Right.
Now, if they got you out of the car and handcuffed you and searched your car and found it in your purse, then they're going to tell you you're getting arrested because you had a concealed weapon. You understand what I'm telling you?
I do, but I also know that they need a search warrant to get inside your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But unless they have
pull
probable
you over.
Right. cause.
Right.
Right,
but a lot of times they throw that guilt trip on you. They say, what, you got something to hide? Is it okay if we search your car? And if you say, well, no. They're well, you got something to hide in there we shouldn't see?
No.
And they start trying
I'm
to throw that
not
at
not giving
you.
Up that right.
That's it.
Just like this, too, okay? Now, we're going to go back to them seeing the gun sticking out of your purse. You're sitting there. You're out of the car. You're handcuffed. For your own safety, they handcuff you, is what they use.
For
okay?
your own safety. Do you get the logic of that? For your
no,
own safety?
So you don't beat yourself up.
Right. Yeah, so you don't hurt yourself.
You don't hurt yourself. Okay? That's why I was handcuffed for my own safety. I was handcuffed because they seen the crowd gathering because everybody heard me say what I said. I also have the videotape from the movie theater that shows the whole thing. I also have the cop going over to talk to the sergeant and saying a bunch of bullshit about me. I should play it for you. I should play it for you guys. Let me see if I can load it up.
Okay, well, he's doing that. But, Betsy, you know, it doesn't matter if there was a bolt or not, we'd still be doing what we're doing.
You're
and that's
absolutely
my motto,
right.
Too.
In fact, when I was nominated, I guess there was a lot of discussion, shall we say. And when Philip first told me there was a lot of discussion, I got angry. You know, like, who are these people to question what I do and who I am and you know, my heart and my soul, et cetera. And then finally, when I heard what bull crap it was, I said to him, you know what? I don't give a shit one way or the other because if I don't get in, it's not going to change who I am and what I do. And I'm still going to do what I do and be the person I am. I don't need to have an affiliation or a label or a patch or a this or a that. I've done it for 15 years independently. I'll do it for as long as the good Lord will allow me to do it, you know? So I'm kind of in the same mindset as you are. And to be honest with you, I was shocked when all the dust settled, and I got an email from Pan saying, welcome. And I went, what? You know, because I had heard, you know, of course, he wasn't supposed to tell me this stuff, but he did, because he's my friend.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it looked like you guys had a lot of fun up there. It looked, I saw your pictures. Those were nice.
Yeah, I haven't even posted mine yet. I've got, oh, goodness, about another 150 pictures to post.
Yeah. Hey, so I got something for you, too. Talk
yeah?
to Pan. He's out of Wisconsin, right?
Right.
Ask him about, what is it, Act 466 up in Wisconsin?
Okay.
I'm trying to find out what's going on, and it had something to do with a right-of-way, and if they violate the right-of-way on a motorcycle and there's an accident, it falls under, like, a special circumstances. So
oh.
it's a traffic law thing. So I'm trying to work through Tom Tenney here
okay.
on this to get information. I'm going to send him a bunch of stuff from out here.
Mm-hmm.
I have to send him about the Defenders program and AB 435.
Yeah.
And then he's going to send me some stuff about that program there. That. And so, yeah. But it sounded really interesting, and I think
yeah,
maybe
some
other areas.
Yeah, let me write it down, because I'm a little tired right now, and I might forget in the morning.
Okay.
So let me just write down what it is, and when I jump on in the morning, I'll...
Art, I just sent
yeah.
you something in the chat. You might want to write
okay.
that down.
Okay. What was it, Art?
I think it was, they called it like ACT or something, or... But it's 466, and it has it's about right-of-way.
Right-of-way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Thanks a lot. I got that one, too.
Oh,
you're
welcome.
From...
Okay. I got this loaded.
Okay.
You understand what I said? Do you not care? Yeah, you actually do have to have my permission, sir. You cannot record without asking me. That's the way the laws are in this state. We've met before. How are you? We got a lawful handling on again? Or not? Is it? I don't need to have a warrant. I actually have the right to inspect safety gear. You understand what I'm asking? You refuse to get out of there. You understand by refusing to get that right, then let me inspect your helmet. You can be placed under arrest for delaying me and my duties.
I'm not trying to delay.
Do you understand that?
I'm not trying to delay.
By refusing me to inspect that, you can't be arrested. Do you understand that? Okay. I just want to make sure we're clear.
This is when I get handcuffed. And open my saddlebags and everything. They gave me a total shakedown.
Wow.
Now he's in the car looking for stuff out of the car.
I wish we could hear your responses better. You sound muffled.
Sorry, me?
You sound a little muffled. It's hard to hear what your responses are to him on the tape.
Well, it might be because it's going through this, but you can hear me.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling him straight out. I don't have a microphone under my chin. He does.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now, I'm talking to the sergeant. He's standing by the car.
Okay.
Still on cone circle, sir, and non-safety helmet compliant.
Right.
Skull cap 34.
Now he goes to talk to the sergeant.
Sound for loud exhaust.
Okay.
And non-safety helmet compliant.
Right.
Skull cap 34.
Okay.
I didn't recognize him right away. For me and Mr. Hannigan have a history. In other words, I have cited him for the helmet ticket in the past.
Okay.
He initially refused me to inspect his helmet, but being a safety equipment, I'm allowed to inspect it. I informed him that he would be arrested for delaying my duties.
Right.
Should he not, and ultimately and reluctantly, he'd give me his helmet. And so anyway, you just hear this.
Ultimately and reluctantly, I'm handcuffed. They took it off my head.
Come supervise that activity.
Okay. Did you want to speak to me at all?
No. Okay. He hasn't requested to speak to you. I just, he was about to be 1016 for the 148. That's why I called you, and then he complied with the helmet request.
Okay.
But I will.
It's always a good thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
The other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take that helmet for evidence. He's not going to get it back. He has another skull cap and a side bag that he can wear. But that one I'm going to take. He's put in a aftermarket sticker in there that says the helmet complies with FMS 218, which is the helmet standard.
Right.
It's not a...
You might have had it at a bike shop.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Are you sorry?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. We go back.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I was ready for that one.
Turned it off. Looking in the code book, but he's an expert. Right now, he's 25 feet away from me on the right and on the trunk of his car.
Rob, what's your ID?
1304.
1304. Thank you. can see the first section here. And column one is a safety helmet allegation. That helmet you have there is a non-compliant helmet. We've been educating you this before. The second section is a loud exhaust for the exhaust there. Court date is no later than September 7th, 8 o'clock in the Vista Traffic Annex. The signature here in the gray shaded box is no admission of guilt. It's just a promise to take care of it on or before that court date, either in person or through the mail. Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you for that,
sir. I will give it to you, no problem.
Taking the handcuffs off me so I can sign the ticket.
Who's that? I'll get my card for you. Do you have any questions for me? No, I'm going to take the helmet for evidence.
Go back and talk to the sergeant, and he's going to tell him I'm a red and white guy. Dazzling with brilliance, baffling with bullshit.
Oh, yeah. I love the part where he goes to the code book.
but he's an expert.
Exactly. Well, I'm an expert, but excuse me, I got to go check this out just to make sure.
Yeah, and then an hour later he found out that I was absolutely correct. He was wrong.
Oh. Yep. Oops. Mm-hmm. Open mouth, insert foot. Did we lose everybody else?
No, I have a question.
Oh, you're still there. Okay.
If he's wrong, Phil, right?
Yeah.
Is there any compensation for the time that you sat there for him to go through that and to you know?
Wrongful detainment.
Yeah, what about the feeling that you had while you were standing there? I mean, you know, people go to court and claim, you know, that, oh, I had temporary insanity, and they get off on that shit. Well, what about how you were feeling standing there when he was doing all that? Might be a little degrading. Do you get compensated, or do you get, sorry, I was wrong?
Well, here's the deal, Janine. Everybody that's been with this guy has refused to serve with him now because they're all getting IA complaints for just being there under 1st, 4th, and 14th Amendment rights violations. And it goes in their jacket, and it's in there for up to 5 years. So when I talked to the city attorney and asked her where the other 45 were over the last 6 weeks, she proceeded to tell me that those guys are no longer involved. But when I called the chief secretary and she told me he's still in charge of that, it's like somebody said earlier, they're trying to sweep it under the rug, but it ain't
right.
going away.
Right.
Right, but her question to you was, is there any compensation to you for wrongful detainment and all of that? In other words, I think he would have to bring a civil suit against them for wrongful
yeah.
detainment and request a monetary reimbursement. I think that's how that would have to work. I don't think they just say, well, here's $100 for your time and aggravation and have a nice day.
No, you got
yeah, no,
no,
no, right, right. But it would have to be, it would be a monetary measurement for the sorry I was wrong if he pushed it and took him to civil courts.
Right,
right. You
right.
have to, yeah, you have to file a lawsuit where under civil rights violations and the door's open on that, on the price.
But I'm thinking,
well,
too, is that something you would even want to pursue because then they would be on you even more?
I already have it. It's already been
yeah, I would say do it.
That's what
I
was
say,
thinking that you already
you
did
know what?
It.
Well, because if they're going to nag and they're going to harass, it would have to be, I think, in you know, in my eyes or in my gut, in my heart, I would have to go back. That pendulum
well,
swings both ways.
Right.
You heard him say, he's had a history with me. But then in the beginning, you heard him say he didn't know who it was.
Yeah,
yes.
He said, I didn't know it was Mr. Hennigan.
Oh, there you go.
Hennigan. Yeah.
I didn't recognize, he said. I didn't
yeah.
recognize.
Yeah. Bullshit. He knew it was. He knew who it was when he saw me.
Yeah.
They were actually parked two blocks down waiting for me to leave.
Yeah, that's what happened to me that time when I got stopped for my helmet ticket.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got a helmet ticket too?
Oh, yeah, about 12 years ago. And the trooper actually left his cruiser, walked onto private property. My helmet was hanging off my handlebars. He inspected my helmet while I was inside the dealership. And then he laid in wait right outside the parking lot of the dealership. The minute I rode out of the parking lot, he pulled me over. And he told me, your helmet's not legal. And I said, excuse me? I said, I've been riding with this helmet for the past 5 years. In fact, I've ridden past you. I said, I don't know how many times you never stopped me before. Why now? I said, in fact, I ride with all your guys, and they all ride with the same kind of helmet. You know what he wrote right on my ticket? Don't know nothing about it, right across the ticket. What a jackass. Well, he ended up on a desk job by the time, because he was stopping everybody, and we made a charge against him and got him off that patrol. Now he's retired.
Good for you.
Yeah. It's the same thing with this guy. The four of them got taken off their bikes, so they left.
Yeah, they don't, you know, the department doesn't like their own embarrassing them.
Nope. And they don't like getting a lawsuit either, and that's where
mm-hmm.
we're at now.
No, that, they don't like that at all.
That was my... Yeah, that's why I raised that question to you. Where's your compensation for being correct in that environment?
It's going to take a while, but he should win this.
You guys got that article that was written out recently, right, about when the cops are wrong, there's no problem, but when you're wrong, you're liable?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And that's just the way that's fine, I guess. They can enforce the laws that they don't even know.
Yep, that's the thing. You should have seen the look on his. I was standing 20 feet from him with when the sergeant and the other guy that I had on the show about a month ago talked about it, and they told him straight out, "You were wrong. You were wrong." And I just stood there. I just started laughing because I go, "Gotcha."
And they wonder why when that cop rolled his car up in Washington, and was sitting in it stuck. why the bikers walked up and laughed at him and rode away.
You know, if they did their job to the letter and didn't usurp our rights, and there wouldn't be a problem, and bikers probably would have gone over and tried to help. But, you know, it's ingrained in a lot of riders that, you know, the cops are against us, not there to help us.
That's exactly why I said. I told you they waited. They waited for. I was there with a bunch of people. People started leaving. They waited till I left on my own, by myself, and then pulled it. I'm telling you, when I made the left turn in front of that guy, he seen my face. He knew exactly who I was.
Oh, I have no doubt he didn't know who you were.
You can hear him change. You can hear him change his story on the.
And then when he said you were red and white and all of that, he was. I think what he was doing by saying that was trying to back up the reason that he stopped you and handcuffed you.
Yep.
You know, because you're red and white.
Yep. And you guys did hear him say when he said, I'm handcuffing you for your own safety.
Yep.
Yeah, well, nothing makes you feel more safe than being handcuffed.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. And people...
That's their psychological game.
Yeah.
They choose
it's
these words very wisely.
It's a control and power thing.
Well, how could you argue with that? If you're being handcuffed for
your own
safety, what are you going to stand there and say? What are you going to stand there and say?
It's like locking you up on a PC.
Anybody in their right mind who's not under the influence is going to be baffled by that fucking statement and just do it. Just be like, I guess it's for my own safety.
That's
you know?
It. As long as he doesn't want to spank you or something.
Yeah. And it, well, what happened was I had gotten off the bike and I was standing there with my back to the guy behind me, with his hand on his gun. Then I heard clank, so I knew somebody was pulling handcuffs out. So I had reached in my pocket. I had a tape recorder in my left hand, my license and everything in my right hand. And the next thing I know, he takes the recorder and turns it off. And the other guy, as he's taking it, grabs my left hand and pulls it behind me. And then they take my right hand. And that's when they tell me, we're doing this for your safety.
Yeah. No, they did it for their safety because you were taping them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, plus he was red and white.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I think it's funny.
But, you know, they forgot to mention the blue, red, white, and blue. He's American. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know, Phil.
It could be interesting to see it play out. You have to keep us posted.
Yeah. Well, we have down to 13 minutes left. And I know you guys are going to enjoy my favorite song.
Okay.
I dedicate this to those guys. And when this is done...
Hey,
I'm
Phil.
Gonna... Yes.
Phil, before you do that, can you give Art my email and my phone number? Because I would like to write a letter, but I'd like to know how to construct it and what I need to do in there to help riders have a freer ride. And if I can write a letter or do something, I would be willing to do that.
And please give me Janine's, because... I would love to have her wear it. She's a resident of Massachusetts.
Yes,
right,
I am.
Right, one is here as well.
Absolutely.
I have your phone number, but not your email.
Well, you know what, Betsy? Please call me. Please call me. I would like to know exactly what I need to do and what keywords I need to say in there if I want the letter to be pungent and stick or hold some kind of water. I'd like to know what I'm doing if I'm going to...
I think you're on the right track, honey. Just listening to you speak and hearing your passion and your commitment. I think you've got it right there. I don't think I have to steer you much, to be quite honest, but sure.
Well, I need a who. I need a who. I need,
yeah,
I need
well, the
where
who
it's going.
I can get you and
that's
and
what
whatnot.
I'm looking
yeah.
for.
Okay.
Yeah, because
absolutely.
I want you guys to know that bikers are not second-class citizens.
No, we aren't.
No, they're not.
So while this is playing, I will send you that information, Janine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And I'll send it to you, Betsy.
Okay, thank you, honey.
And this is...
All right, good night, Art. Good night, Janine.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, Art.
You all be safe.
Hi, good night.
Good night. Hey, sounds like the Waltons.
In the grocery store, all the kids look at me like they thought I was Santa Claus. Mamas don't like it, so they turn the shopping carts around. Mama shoots me a dirty look. She thinks I'm just a greasy rebel without a cause. But it's fear that mostly makes them people put us down. But I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. That's right. I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. In the restaurant, the maitre d' gets nervous cause I ain't got on a tie. But who'd ever thought a hairy-ass biker would drink French wine? I just finish off the steak and I have a glass of brandy and a slice of apple pie. Then I leave the biggest tip that the waiter's seen all night. Still, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. Me none if the public thinks we're the scourge of society. I know a lot of little poor kids that don't see things your way. Cause on Christmas Day, they got a full belly and a teddy bear under the tree. They know Santa wears leather and he rides a two-wheel sleigh. Still, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I love the little children's too. Your opinion of me don't amount to shit if you don't like it. Fuck you. You heard me. That's right. I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. Sing. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it. Oh, y'all sing along this time now. And I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to empty my 44 and Boy George, and if he don't like it, fuck him too.
Greasy faggot.
Yeah, I'm sure Boy George will appreciate that one.
You guys still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Right here.
Okay.
Right here.
I'm gonna let Rusty and the boys take us out with Attica's song. It's called War, and I'll see you guys next week. And thanks for your participation and your help. And I sent that email to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Bye.